Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males...
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we're going to talk about a priest of crap, and it's a movie called Priest, as pitched by Scott from 2011. Scott, you've been threatening this movie on us for almost a year.
Promising, threatening,
basically the same thing. You just followed through with the threat. So, you were like, hey, I'm pretty sure the movie's on Tubi. And at one point it was. But when I laid down to watch on Tubi, it wasn't anymore, which was also shocking news to find out that Tubi even doesn't want this movie anymore.
Big time.
So I'm in this panic of, shit, I've got 24 hours to watch Priest. So my plan was that I was going to watch the 10 movie clips that were available on YouTube and try to piece it together. And then Scott sent me the movie. And I think I would have understood it just as much if I had watched the 10 movie clips on YouTube and just tried to piece it together. This movie's a mess, but man, is it fun.
Dude.
Is it fun?
So fun.
Is it?
I had a blast.
I picked it,
but
I don't even know if I had fun watching it twice.
I had about two bags of Doritos sitting on either side of me.
Doritos, yeah. And
I was loving it. I was loving every second of it, but I could not recount to you much of it. So I hope that you guys remember. Well, I had the same problem, Matt, because I should have turned you guys on to it not being on Tubi anymore. But I was like, they have more act. They got it. I was like, Matt has it on DVD. Scott already figured it out. Like, I'm the one who has to go figure. So there's an antique store down the street from me that has
about 20
like a dollar
copies
room.
Of Priest.
And I was like, I'm just gonna. And I didn't have the kid, so I was just like, I'm gonna go see if it's there. If it's not there, I'll hit up the boys and see what we can do about it. But they had it right there. It was perfect.
I was concerned that you just already had it on your shelf when you sent us the picture of you with Hunter. I was like, oh, Kyle.
No, that's a fresh acquisition here in the Kyle household.
You're new to this show. We'll let you know. Those are called convention sellers, which is the movie that you buy for like a buck somewhere to watch for the podcast with the full intention of, oh, we're going to Mania soon. Yeah, I'll bust that DVD out and put it on the table.
I got this. I saw this floating around online that people like they have little free libraries and then that, but they've done a free Blockbuster. Actually, I think it started in your area.
Ooh.
At the time, they weren't selling it looks like. It's like a little free library, but it looks more like a newspaper, like a plastic newspaper bin, like on the sidewalk that you would open up. But it was homemade. And so for years, I've been like, I want to do that. I have to find one of those. They're not like easy to find like out in the trash or antique stores, right? It's not. They're kind of like taken off the streets and put in a different area of the world, but there was a closed down gas station across, like, down the road. My dad, who had this seed planted in his head because I told him about it, went into that abandoned gas station, grabbed, like, a rugged ass, like, newspaper thing, and now we're gonna make our own free Blockbuster here in front of our house as a little free library. So all that to say, Priest is immediately going in
there. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it needs to be.
But we had fun. It was a blast. I thought it was very fun to watch.
So I texted you guys about this, but we're appropriately enough, we're recording this episode on the week of Easter. Seems just appropriate. And because of the fact that I work at a church, I'm like needed at the church a lot this week. There's like four different services. So I had to do this afternoon Good Friday thing. And I was like, I don't know. I knew I had stuff Friday night. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to fit in two movies today. So the only solution I had was to sit in the back of the church during the Good Friday service watching Priest on my laptop. And I can categorically tell you, in the first minute of this movie, headphones is the worst decision to have because it goes from quiet to loud so immediately when the vampires first show up. Yeah. And just having that isolated audio in my head, I was like, oh my God, that's too much. And like I turned the volume down greatly from that point.
Dude.
It's a strange-ass opening. Like, I think we've talked about this before, but, like, there's this whole thing where if you're making a horror movie, there's always this note that you have to have a scare in the beginning to, like, hook them in. Otherwise, like, you can't, God forbid, you, like, slow pace it. And, like, it takes, like, 40 minutes until, like, the first scare happens. You have to get it in the middle or people are just going to pack up and leave, I guess.
Especially 2011. Right up front, oh, yeah. Man. Right.
And that's
there.
Like this scene. I'm like, what the fuck is this scene? Because it's so
Demon
short.
Wind.
Yeah, it is Demon Wind. It gives you absolutely nothing. Wind.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
The thing that this movie has that Demon Wind lacks, Kyle, is a pretty sweet animated
budget
segment. Explaining no, the lack of budget is the benefit.
Oh, dude,
of Demon
the anime,
the
animation
works
intro.
For me, dude.
Such a weird choice. Like that stylistic choice will never make sense to me. Well, I mean, there are
so
many.
They had $60 million and they ran out real fast.
You're like, who knows Flash around here? So, Scott, tell us why you decided to pick Priest.
Revenge.
What? For my picks?
No, it's not really revenge. It was because I had been like, since Matt won't let me do themes, I'm just going to create themes by picking stuff that's categorically similar to the stuff that the other guys pick. And so I think that I went with this because Kyle picked Stigmata. I think that was my thought process. Or maybe. I mean, it was pretty high up on my list. And I was like,
it works really well that we end up on Easter weekend.
That wasn't intentional, though.
That's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, yeah, that is true.
This does feel like Catholic guilt, the movie, at some point, right up front.
Well, another theme that fit with last week's Dead Silence and will also continue into next week's movie is a real lack of color gels. A real lean on that
blue-black
palette.
Yeah, like, dude, so blue.
I feel like that is the thing in 2022 where I'm like, man, how have I never noticed how many movies we watch did not have a color gel budget to do more than just one color? Because that
it wasn't
has been
a budget thing. It was literally a stylistic decision. They were like, this is gonna look cool. This is gonna look like a music video. This whole fucking movie is just a music video.
Big old, like, music video for sure.
Well, what it is it's Red Dead Redemption, but with like better graphics. It's a really dumb movie. The concept is stupid as hell. I don't know how they got Carl Urban, Paul Bettany, Maggie Q. I mean, and I guess Lily
Christopher
Collins.
Christopher Plummer.
Yeah, like they got like a lot of people in this movie to do a lot of really stupid stuff.
Stupid shit.
Like this movie is really dumb. I cannot overstate how fucking dumb this movie is from start to finish. Every choice is the wrong choice. That's why I picked it, because it's literally a train wreck. Like, metaphorically and literally. Like, yeah.
It's one of those movies that I was maybe 5 to 10 minutes into this movie and I said, this has got to be based on a comic book.
It feels like it, wasn't it?
And it is. Okay. It is. It's based on a Korean comic book. But I was just like, yeah, like everything about this, no one this movie is so dumb and so complicated that it had to have had some type of pre-existing thing for anybody to go like, okay, this. Because it is like Kyle said, like, it's like Catholic guilt, the movie. Like, I genuinely am so confused at a movie where the heroes are priests and all of the dialogue is like, you must do this. You're a goddamn priest. You know what I mean? Like, it's like this.
That's also a volume level.
Yeah, it's just so like, I'm like, are we supposed to be like, fuck yeah, I want to be a priest. Like, is that what our takeaway is supposed to be from this movie? Like,
you get a sweet face tat.
Yeah, you do. It's taking up, and it's browns like shit. So it just looks like a shit cross on your forehead. It's terrible. It's a weird Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is what it's called. But the weird thing for me was that, like, I understand that people do not like religion. Like, we've talked many a time about our qualms with religion on this show.
No, but we've talked about my qualms with religion, not your qualms with religion.
This is true. This is true. I was trying to be diplomatic. But to make a movie like this, where it's 1984 meets a vampire wasteland.
Yeah.
Based, like, man, like, just have a podcast about horror movies and talk about it on it. Don't, or, you know, well, like, just find a different outlet. You don't need to spend $60 million on this, dude. It's really crazy. And I wrote the same thing. I was like, the source material has to be fucked.
Yeah. Well, this has to be like, this movie, to a certain extent, feels like a big budget version of like some of the crap that you would get at your church library. You know what I mean? Like, I think I would like this movie more if it was like from a sincere source material. Like, if you're like, oh, the guy who wrote the Left Behind series wrote this movie about how like priests are the ultimate good in the world and like the world has shunned them. And like now they're the only ones that can save vampires. Then it's like an even better misfire, right? Like you're just like, oh my God, like they are so off the mark. But the fact that this, I don't even know if this is satire. I don't know what the fuck this is.
It completely lives outside the realm of like literary decisions. So it's not satire, but it's also not believing anything that it stands for nothing. It is so weird.
It is. There are a few movies that I have been like this confused by, and I paid attention. This wasn't even one where it was. Yeah, like I was like, my one note though. I mean, I think the designs of the vampires are pretty cool. Like those little like demon face creatures. Like I'm like, all right, these don't look bad. Like it's interesting because there's elements that don't look awful, and then there are segments that are just like, what the shit is this? Like, we have to talk about the ending with that train. When we have
franchise, by the way. Like,
it oozes that they thought this was going to be a franchise.
This is a prequel. This is like, if they would have changed this hour and a half movie into the first 30 minutes of an actual movie, it would have made a whole lot more sense. You know?
100%. Yeah, we got this girl riding on her motorcycle straight into a train, blowing it up. As our half priest, half vampire character gets thrown into the air, and don't think I didn't miss the subtlety movie that he throws his hands out almost exactly like Jesus on the cross before getting caught on fire.
Wow, I totally didn't notice that, Matt.
and I'm just like, what is this fucking movie?
What's
like,
this,
I'm like,
what are they even trying to say? Like, that's
what are they trying to say? What's the fucking point?
I have no clue.
I agree, Scott. I don't understand any of it.
Like, I'm super critical of religion, obviously. And even I can't be like, yeah, that's sticking it to the man. You know, like, in Hellraiser Hell World, Pinhead is like, he does that. That makes sense.
Yeah, right.
That's what I mean. Like, if this had come from, like, a religious church film company, I'd be like, all right. At least I get what the movie's trying to say and failing. Right. I don't even know what it's trying to say.
Is this basically Old Testament, Old West, I got it, guys. It's the Old West Testament, the Old Westament, and demons, vampires are demons, and the church is the old church, and then Carl Urban is Jesus he's the one who's going to take away the sins of the church, of the old church, and then they kill him.
Yes.
Because
nailed it.
Paul Bettany is Judas Iscariot. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
That's
and the woman on the motorcycle is Mary Magdalene. Yeah.
Mary Magdalene. We'll figure it out. Yeah. In 16 minutes, we put more thought into this movie than the entire
time. I think Lily Collins would be Mary Magdalene because there's a weird, like, sexual thing.
Yeah.
I don't love that.
This movie is very not sexy, speaking of. We were talking about vampires being sexy a couple weeks ago.
Oh, hey, and perfect, like, exactly.
This totally flies in the face of that. These vampires are, like, this is the most unsexy vampire thing, which I don't think it's meant to be, but it just totally flies in the face of us being like, vampires are, you know, the sex, they still hold true, we just don't count priest vampires in
well,
our listing.
Even, yeah, like these vampires, it's a fun idea, yeah. But they're not really vampires, they're more like
they're more demons
or they're a creature, they're like a, I don't know, when people call vampire movies creature features, I really have to kind of scrunch my nose at it, because it doesn't, they're not, because like I feel like creatures don't speak.
Right.
I hopped on the wiki page for the Priest comic book just to try to get some type of understanding of any of this. Apparently it's been 16 volume collection of these comics. It spawned into an MMO game at one point. Dream Theater wrote an album based around the comic book series, which is
what?
Unbelievable. It said specifically their song In the Presence of Enemies features direct quotes from the comic in the lyrics.
What?
Like, the character of the priest appeared in various video games, but then I have a quote about the film adaptation. And it said that they attempted to make a prequel comic that would try to bridge the massive gap between the comic book's themes and the movie's themes, but they never completed the project because it seemed too difficult. But the creator,
you think?
The creator did support the film, praising the visuals, but did say, I mean, they did completely miss the comic's philosophical aspects, but it's okay. Which is
like, it's okay.
It's like, so it's like, all right, I mean, I'm never going to read this comic, but at least it sounds like the comic had some thought put behind it versus the movie exec that was like, oh, about a priest killing some vampires, I'll green light that. And they're like, well, here's the source material. And he goes, fuck that shit.
Truly.
You know, he had a committee write it based on the covers alone. They were like, looked up the covers on the internet. They didn't actually read the comic books.
Yeah. Yeah, that tracks. I'm going to interject real quick because we're recording this in the morning. I'm not going to have a beer, but I pre-purchased a beer before watching the movie because I was like, okay, Priest, I'll try to find something that's like, I lucked out okay with Stigmata, but I want to do something different. I only found one called Cross Reference, and there was no cross references in the movie that I remember, so this doesn't
but
even
fucking... But there was one that you missed that we discussed, so...
Yes. Yeah, that was it. That was it.
He had his cross-reference at
the
end.
That's
the
only one. The cross... Yeah, I totally missed that, too.
Yeah, I like that parallel thinking. That's really... That's some good stuff.
That's all I had.
I like it.
It's all I had. But yeah, one of the... it's 9:30 a.m., and it's a kettle sour, so I'm going to pass on that for my
that's
stomach.
That's not a breakfast.
No, it's not a breakfast beer.
Yes, someone doing the Jesus pose. It's one of the many things this movie has in common with
Hellraiser
3, Hell on Earth.
Should have blasted Jesus Christ pose on the credit sequence. Just
or even your own personal Jesus. Any of them.
Any of them. You got options, guys.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey.
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze.
my gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Scott, this was your pick. Let's talk double features real quick. What are you double featuring this movie with?
All right. So this is kind of a deep cut. And I don't think that I've ever mentioned it on the show. Have you guys ever heard of the movie Perfect Creature?
No.
It is a kind of like a sci-fi horror movie. It's kind of got a bit of the Underworld vibe where it's, you know, like they're all wearing leather, you know, but it's I think that it actually follows very similarly because where there's priests or like the vampires and religion, and it's been a long time since I watched it, but I remember enjoying it. And but it's like, I if I remember correctly, the vampires are the religion and they get fed by people. Like people will give the, it's like blood donorship to keep them from having to eat people or something. But then there's like some sort of hybrid vampire and it's going around making a different kind of vampire. It's kind of got a little Blade 2 thing going on. And I think, I don't know. Wow. I was like, oh yeah, that'd be perfect. But then I completely biffed on remembering what the fucking movie's about.
I remember this cover.
It's not a bad movie. It's pretty entertaining. I think I had it on DVD at one time and never watched the copy that I had. I think I rented it or saw it on Netflix or something long, long time ago. Never watched the DVD copy, and I think I probably, I think I sold it at Mania or something like that. So,
That's why I know that cover then, because I'm like, I know that like red cover with the mouth on it,
with
and
the
words, perfect creature across the top. Kyle, you want to go next on your double feature?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm also going to share Carly's. Her double feature is Sound of Music.
Okay.
Just because of Christopher Plummer. Okay. Mine is Wild Wild West. Wiki Wild Wild West.
Yep. They're very, very thematically similar.
Just so similar. This weird steampunk futuristic, but not this one. Wild Wild West obviously leans more west for many reasons.
Jim West, Desperado.
You don't want nada. We could do this for a long time. Let's not. Wild Wild West is my double feature.
All right. Mayan's gonna sound a little insane, and I think it only makes sense if it's the A picture, because the visuals match more of the first half of this movie than the second half of this movie. But I'm also gonna talk about a CGI fest that was based on a comic book, 1998's Spawn. There's something about it that just makes sense. All right, Scott, what have you been watching this week that you want to talk about?
So have you guys heard of the movie Dave Made a Maze?
No.
Yes.
Have you watched it?
No.
It has been on my Shudder list, my to watch list, for months. And I just wasn't in the mood because I knew that it was going to be a really different experience. And I finally had some time alone. And I was like, I don't feel like doing anything important this evening. So I just laid on the couch and I watched Dave Made a Maze. And it is such a charming, weird movie. The concept is this guy who's kind of a, I don't know, like a lazy bones. Like he just never follows through with anything. He makes a maze that is much bigger on the inside. He makes a maze in his and his girlfriend's apartment, and the maze is much larger on the inside than it is on the outside. It's made out of cardboard. And then there are booby traps, and there's a minotaur. And when people die in the maze, it's like confetti instead of blood and stuff like that. So it's like a completely bloodless movie, but people get killed. And at one point, they get turned into little like paper bag characters, you know, when you're in elementary school you'd make like a paper bag, like a brown paper bag character that goes like its mouth moves. They get turned into those in one room. It is just so charming. It is a really fun movie. I loved it.
Really, awesome.
I'm like so interested in actually watching this movie right now.
it gets a high recommendation from me. You have to be in the mood for something unpredictable, though, because it's not really a comedy, but it's also not a horror. It doesn't really have horror beats. It doesn't really have comedy beats. It's really quirky. It's just like really quirky beats, if that makes sense.
All right. I'm going to bounce off that with something else kind of fantasy. Scream Factory sent me a review copy of a film that I had never seen before, The Sword and the Sorcerer. Oh, man, that shit slaps. That movie is amazing. And that's all I'm going to say, because I don't know if we're going to start getting into sword and sandal movies on Horror Movie Night in the coming year. Like, that's a pretty high up contender, man. Yeah. That movie's got some monsters and some goop. It's perfect. Yeah.
That's awesome. I know they put out the 4K, right?
Yep.
Fuck.
All right, Kyle.
I also got a movie in the mail recently. It was a double feature that actually Scream Factory originally put out. It was Schizoid and X-Ray, but Vinegar Syndrome re-released it.
X-Ray like Hospital Massacre?
Yeah, Hospital Massacre, yes. Yeah. And I fucking love Hospital Massacre. Not love. Okay, let me cool my fucking pies for a second. Hospital Massacre is very fun.
It's entertaining, but it's dumb as hell.
It's really dumb. And I was like, okay, it's on this double feature, and I've seen it. But I was like, you know, Carly and I were like, well, let's watch something sort of just like whatever. And I was like, well, I got Schizoid, which is the double of that. And we watched Hospital Massacre together. So I was like, well, let's watch this. It might be like similar in tone or whatever. And it's about a psychiatrist and an advice columnist who are both sort of on the trail of a murderer who keeps killing off the group members of this group of this therapy group that they're both part of. And it's Klaus Kinski's in it. He's fucking so wild.
Klaus Kinski's so wild in everything, dude.
Everything. And he's just so... He's actually probably a little tame in here and has like one or two crazy scenes. But for the most part, he's pretty tame. It's not a good movie, but it's a good... And it's not even necessarily that fun. But I did... Carly and I did keep looking at each other. It's a whodunit. It's like a giallo-esque whodunit. Both her and I looked at each other like, we really don't know who did it. Like, some of these times you're like, oh, this person did it, I'm tracking with them the whole movie and like just waiting for the reveal that it's them. And I was like, I even though I called it first thing, it did have me questioning each time who it actually was. It got me. Schizoid got me.
That's one that people have suggested for Listener Submit It Month a couple times, actually. I know that that's been on our list once or twice.
It would be a good movie for this show. But we'll let the listeners decide that one, I guess.
All right. Sounds good. All right. As promised, we're going to do an email. I pulled another one from the email archives, dating all the way back to July 12th, 2020. And the title of this email is Jaws 3D Memories. And it says, hey, guys, my name is Kate, and I just discovered your podcast on Spotify, and I've been listening nonstop. As someone who loves bad horror movies, I'm thoroughly entertained every week. I'm only on episode 50 right now, but I saw on your Instagram that you covered Jaws 3D, which I have a connection to. My dad is a film and television editor out in LA, and Jaws 3D was one of his first gigs. He was the assistant editor on the movie, and I told him that you guys reviewed it on the podcast, and he had a good laugh. He agrees, it's a horrible movie, but at the time, he thought it was the best thing ever. Much of which he contributes to being young and inexperienced. Although he said there's a good amount of things he can't share, it would be too embarrassing for the other people, but he did say it was a very rowdy set, which involved a lot of things happening with the water ski girls. He did share some fun antidotes. They built a huge tank for filming underwater scenes in Florida, mostly the scuba diving scenes. After production broke for Thanksgiving holiday, someone was appointed to be in charge of filtration. Well, I guess they never did it. And once production resumed, the tank not only started to leak, but the water was too murky and too cloudy. This put them behind schedule with a lot of firings on top of it. They had a preview for the movie at the Directors Guild here in LA, and it was not received very well. My dad was up in the booth where the film was being projected and saw the audience screaming and waving their hands down below. He thought something was wrong with the picture, but when he ran down, he saw that everyone was just laughing and booing at the picture. Universal decided not to release any previews for the movie because they realized how bad it was, but they did make a decent amount of money despite the horrible reviews. He's definitely moved on to more sustainable projects since then, but he has a great sense of humor and fondness for Jaws 3D. He works a lot with David Lynch, so if you guys ever review Blue Velvet, I'm sure that there's plenty of good stuff that he can share about that. Also, if you guys ever happen to be out in LA around October, I can connect you with some Hollywood Horror Nights VIP passes. I work with the Universal Events team, and it's a must-do at least once in your life. Take care and look forward to continuing the podcast. Love, Kate.
Aw, Kate, if you're still listening, Blue Velvet's my favorite movie, and I would love to hear more.
Are you?
I can categorically tell you Kate still listens because her and I actually became really good friends talking about Jaws 3D.
Oh, good.
So we text from time. She might actually come in. She was thinking about coming and visiting sometime in June. Maybe I'll be like, come out June 4th and join us for the live stream event for the week.
That'd be fantastic. Very we could cool. watch Blue Velvet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
You know, that's a fucking Blue Velvet is.
Do you guys just want to change it to a David Lynch fest and just do Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive, and Inland Empire? I think that'll fill the whole 12 hours.
Man, and can you imagine how much Doritos, how many bags of Doritos we would need for that?
We'd be drowning.
Like, I don't even love Doritos. I don't even want to partake in Doritos, but I would need to survive.
I'll just get you you just need the right flavor. That's all.
I still love that there is people who don't subscribe to our Patreon who have no clue what this Doritos.
I'm pretty sure that they know what Doritos are.
I have figured it out by now. But another good reason to join the Patreon is this is the newest movie we've discussed on the show in a while. So I took the liberty. We have an unspoken rule that 10 years before we can talk about a movie, unless it's an In Theaters Now episode. So I pulled up a list of all of the films that came out in 2012. That were horror films, and I'm going to read them to Kyle and Scott on the Patreon page, and we're going to decide, hey, do we think we should do an episode on that or not?
I'm so excited.
So jump over to Patreon for that, and don't forget to send us emails so that, you know, eventually I'm going to get caught up to 2022 on these email readings. So send those to hmnpodcast@gmail.com. You know what? If a brand new email comes out, I might give that priority over some of the archived ones, but...
Hope no one gets mad.
Still... hmnpodcast@gmail.com. Can't wait to hear from you. patreon.com/hmnpodcast, and we'll be back next week with even more Horror Movie Night.
Listening to the Geekscape Network.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.